You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June 16, 2021. Well, now President Biden and Russian President Putin have had their meeting. About 3 hours. Meeting in Geneva. And then when they came out, no joint news conference. Putin wanted one. The Biden team said, no, we're not going to do that. No joint conference here. We'll do our own thing. And Putin and kind of said, well, it was, quote, constructive, but that was about as far as he would go, saying anything was really effective. And when Biden came out, of course, he talked tough, saying, I told him this is what we want, this is what we don't want, and so forth and so on and so on. Do you really believe that? Well, you want to go back to that old saying, the test will be in the pudding, because if they continue to cyber hack out of Russia, and Putin continues to say, that it's not us, I don't know anything about it, and Biden doesn't call him, hold him accountable, I'm waiting for the next event. Not likely to see anything strong from Biden at any point for that. But the meeting itself, even CNN just brought in a body expert to watch the handshake. And the body expert on CNN did exactly what they wanted him to say. He said, the handshake. Biden looked Putin in the eye with a smile. Putin looked away. What a bunch of nonsense. That's what we're getting out of them. Senator Tom Cotton pointing out, said, my big concern is not so much Joe Biden stumbling and bumbling his way through describing Vladimir Putin, and I'm concerned about how he behaves towards Vladimir Putin. And for the last 4 months, Biden has been pathetically weak. In the meantime, U.S. states, of course, lifting more coronavirus restrictions. Experts worried that those who are not fully vaccinated could contribute to further spread of the virus. And they seem to be concerned, or at least are preaching now, the concern about the Delta variant, first reported in India. They say that's now showing up in about 10% of coronavirus cases in the U.S., according to the CDC. Does that mean it's going to become a dominant strain? Does it mean the current vaccination will or will not work? Well, the U.S. Surgeon General says, reference this new variant, I'm worried about those who are unvaccinated. So that suggests they think it would help to fight it off. But then again, who knows? And in fact, to that extent, we continue to get misguided statements and representations from the CDC, Dr. Fake, and Biden, and the White House on a constant basis. It's no clear understanding. There is a concern about children. At what age should they get it? Especially when there have been reports of some heart conditions responding, or rather showing up and reacting to some of the kids. But Dr. Mark Siegel, a Fox News consultant, says if you look at these, in many cases the kids had other conditions that might have contributed, possibly diabetes. And when the COVID crisis is continuing to ease, supposedly, in New York City, they've got crime and gun violence going up again. No surprise there either, right? And they also have an influx of homeless folks in Manhattan's Hell's Kitchen neighborhood. That's because New York City made an emergency move to ease crowding in the shelters. So many of the folks in nearby hotel rooms contracted by the city, they're pretty inconspicuous, but you got those with mental and drug problems showing up more and more often in Hell's Kitchen and Times Square. You ready for a vacay in NYC? Maybe not. A bad ruling regarding abortion involving a federal appeals court upholding a lower court ruling that North Carolina's ban on abortion after 20 weeks is unconstitutional. It'll be appealed, of course, as it should be. We also have to keep in mind, we have a other state out of Mississippi with a 15-week abortion ban. That's next up. And don't look for this on your state-controlled media, but more than 200 rabbis have signed off on a letter calling on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to remove Congresswoman Omar, Democrat Minnesota, from the House Foreign Affairs Committee. They sent that letter, signing off on it, accusing Congresswoman Omar of inciting attacks on American Jews with her anti-Semitic remarks and telling Nancy Pelosi you need to get her off the committee. Do you think you're going to see that story reported by the state-controlled media? Are you holding your breath? Are you going to wait? Somebody better call 911 for you, but it ain't going to happen.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I'm walking to the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same, 'cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old Studley Roy, and the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
A multiracial country can only survive if it self-consciously de-emphasizes race, if it treats every person as an individual and not a member of some larger group that's guilty or innocent. So that should be the goal. That's our history, and we ought to get back to it as soon as we can. But that is exactly the opposite of what our leaders are doing. They're working hard to divide us into warring camps, and they're using lies to do it. They're telling us a story that is completely and very much intentionally disconnected from reality. They're claiming that something called white supremacy, and that's a term they never define, is the single greatest threat we face, a greater threat than Al-Qaeda or ISIS. Here's our thoroughly craven Attorney General telling us that very lie today.
In the FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocated for the superiority of the white race.
Well, those are the words of Merrick Garland, Attorney General, and, of course, the words in advance of him, Tucker Carlson. He took on the issue of January 6th as they want to call on the state-controlled media and the left an insurrection, as if it were an attempt to overthrow the government, to absolutely go in and change the election. They didn't go in with any real weapons. Some of them might have had some kind of baton. I'm still not going to defend it. It was still wrong. They might have done it even under the guise of being patriotic. It was a wrong thing to do, and I knew it was going to be used against us. And we continue to see more and more questions about this, that how much was our government involved in not just simply allowing it to happen, but maybe encouraging it and maybe even taking part in it with undercover agents? Now, that's a big point to raise if you're going to accuse our government of carrying out that assault on the U.S. Capitol. And it was a riot. It was an assault. I'll grant that. And the Capitol Hill police, in some cases, were showing that they were trying to stand their ground. In other cases, video showing that they were kind of opening up, letting them through. Maybe they didn't realize it's going to that point. I don't know what was going on. And the problem is, no one else really does either, unless you're really at the top, because there is no transparency here. What we're getting is a constant bang of the drums from the left that this was perfect reason to call every Trump supporter a white supremacist. I don't know how that sits, by the way, with the brown, yellow, and black supporters of Trump, that they're also labeled a white supremacist. I just don't know how that sits with them. Probably not well, any more than does the white supporters. You want to call me a racist simply because I voted one way different than you? If I had any piece of evidence, and no one out there has it, to say that Donald Trump was a clear leader inside the Klan and he was racist in every way possible, and I voted for him, yeah, you should condemn me. But let me give you the take of, here you have Tucker Carlson taking on a very brave statement, saying we need to, now this is something we talked about before. It basically is repeating what Dr. Martin Luther King said. Don't judge someone by their skin color. And to that extent, he was pointing out that we are a country made up of numerous races. And the fact that that is true means that we actually need to look at how we deal with this. He said, a multiracial country can only survive if it self-consciously de-emphasizes race, treats every person as an individual, not a member of some larger group that's guilty or innocent. But he said that's not what our leaders are doing. And then he used that clip of Merrick Garland saying again, in the FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocated for the superiority of the white race. Well, Merrick Garland, let me ask you a question. What about Congresswoman Omar, her anti-Semitic remarks and basically agreeing that death to the Jews and the attacks on Jewish people across the nation? We're not seeing a lot of reporting on that from the state-controlled media. If an Asian person is attacked, well, they'll certainly put that in. And if the Asian person is attacked by a black person, they're not even going to really go that much of coverage to that, because the whole narrative at this point is white is bad and white is to blame for everything. Senator Tim Scott, black Republican, South Carolina senator, says we got to quit putting everything into racial content. And January 6th, as I said, the day it happened, they will use it on us, I'm talking about Americans in general, whether or not you are a Trump supporter, if you have any conservative-type views, you are now all part of the January 6th riot. You might as well have been inside the Capitol that day yourself. I'm reading a piece here, an opinion piece written by Julian Zelizer, a CNN political analyst, professor of history, public affairs, Princeton University, and writes that while Democrats and Republicans continue to clash over how to investigate what happened at the Capitol January 6th, it's likely that the lasting narrative will be shaped not only by journalism and historical writing, but also by pop culture. In the end, this cultural approach to politics might be a more effective approach to dealing with January 6th of the government. That means, of course, the woke crowd can come forward and say, see, here you were, you're trying to overthrow our country. And that is, again, something Tucker Carlson acknowledged, that the left is going to focus on January 6th as often as they can and they will.
Who exactly are these violent white supremacists? What are their names? What crimes under the U.S. Code have they committed? We still don't know. Merrick Garland didn't tell us today. Instead, he spent most of his time talking about the riot at the Capitol on January 6th, an event that had nothing whatsoever to do with race. Nothing. But Merrick Garland lied about that. He, like most people you see on television, wants you to believe and wants history to record that January 6th was an attempted insurrection by white supremacist revolutionaries bent on taking over this country. We came this close, Merrick Garland said, and that's why, quote, we must adopt a broader societal response to tackle the problem's deeper roots. So because of January 6th, says the chief law enforcement officer in the United States of America and many other members of Joe Biden's cabinet, we must now use law enforcement and military force to arrest, imprison, and otherwise crush anyone who leads opposition to Joe Biden's government.
And they say, according to Tucker, they say that out loud, and yes, they do. And in fact, President Biden's administration now announcing plans to create ways for Americans to report radicalized friends and family to the government in an effort to fight this domestic terrorism. One senior administration official explaining we need to stop politically fueled violence before it starts, stating we will work to improve public awareness of federal resources to address concerning or threatening behavior before the violence occurs. It's kind of the, as he cited, the Department of Homeland Security, if you see something, say something campaign that was meant to stop jihad attacks, not Muslims, jihadists. And of course, Biden began his presidency with a warning in his inauguration speech. Remember that? We had to be warned and worried and concerned about, quote, a rise in political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism that we must confront and we will defeat. And on June 1, just this month, he described the threat from white supremacy as the most lethal threat to our homeland today. Our border is porous. We have thousands upon thousands coming through our border, not being vetted, not being checked. We don't know that they're really from where they might claim to be. In fact, many times when we do actually capture some, we've found many are not necessarily from the Northern Triangle, even South America, nor Mexico, Haiti, Cuba possibly, and the Middle East. You don't think an open border is one of your biggest threats to the homeland security? No, they don't, because it fits their narrative. And then again, we look at the information that's been withheld so far on the Capitol 6 event. The husband of the woman who was shot climbing through the window says, I still don't know who shot and killed her. There is a case to be made. There is a case to be made that you do not identify a police officer involved in something like that or Capitol Police, because then they become a target of doxing and attacking. But you can't go by that constantly. You've got to realize the public has a right to know. You just need to do the job of protecting the officer going forward. But there is a lot that we still don't know about January 6th, and to that extent, the question is raised. When you look at some of the charges that have been filed, they have some as unindicted co-conspirators. Tucker Carlson pointing out that unindicted co-conspirators, that would be someone the government identifies only as person one, person two, that they're all part of the event, that they were part of the meetings of the so-called oath keepers that might have been involved in storming this. So were they organizers or part of it? And then you get into the question of what happens to those who are arrested. And there is also, as Tucker Carlson pointed out, some real disparity when it comes to prosecution.
Why are all those January 6th protesters still in prison on trespassing charges, as so many Biden voters who torched federal buildings walking free? What's the answer to that question? If all of that was going on in Russia, we would rightly call it scary. We would call Putin a dictator. In fact, we do call him a dictator. And speaking of January 6th, why are there still so many things, basic factual matters, that we don't understand about that day? Why is the Biden administration preventing us from knowing? Why is the administration still hiding more than 10,000 hours of surveillance tape from the U.S. Capitol on January 6th? What could possibly be the reason for that? Even as they call for more openness, we need to get to the bottom of it. They could release those tapes today, but they're not. Why?
Why? Well, because perhaps maybe federal agents were involved to that extent. Even CNN and NN had to admit some time ago that the FBI might be closer to some things than we're being told. It involved an Islamic terrorist attack in 2015 in Garland, Texas. Even Anderson Cooper was pointing out, saying after the trial, talking to one of his guests, we discovered the government knew a lot more about the Garland attack they let on, and the guest said, that's right. At the trial, we found they had an undercover agent who'd been texting with one of the guys less than 3 weeks before the attack, texting, tear up Texas, which was an encouragement. And Cooper said that we're talking about the guy that was a special agent of the FBI working undercover, posing an Islamic radical. And so Tucker Carlson said they're doing that to Islamic radicals. What do you think they're doing to American citizens? That should worry you. Yeah, we should be worried. And here we got the Biden administration saying we're going to help you report on folks around you. We've seen that in the past, haven't we? All right, let's update the Biden-Putin summit, or just hello, goodbye.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It's clearly not in anybody's interest, your country's or mine, for us to be in a situation where we're in a new Cold War. And I truly believe he thinks that. He understands that. But that does not mean he's ready to, quote, figuratively speaking, lay down his arms and say, come on. He still, I believe, is concerned about being, quote, encircled. He still is concerned that we, in fact, are looking to take him down, etc. He still has those concerns. But I don't think they are the driving force as to the kind of relationship he's looking for with the United States.
So there's a remark from President Biden after his meeting with Putin. Everything he said, did you not think that was already true before you had such a meeting? I mean, did you learn anything new from that? I didn't learn a single thing. Of course, Russia sees us as an enemy, as we see them, or we should. Same thing with China. And, yeah, they're not going to lay down their arms for us. Of course not. We're not doing it for them. I mean, that was a bunch of absolute banal. I'm really holding myself back. Some words I probably shouldn't even try to get into on the air. But let's just go baby pablum, let it go at that. Which, by the way, Quentin pointed out to me, my director, he said, Biden is only calling on reporters that he's got on a list in front of him. He's always looking down, checking the list. We've been through that before, haven't we? That he doesn't want to take any question from anybody not cleared by the staff. And the staff is only going to clear people who are going to make him look good. We knew that too, didn't we, going into it. All this happening between Biden and Putin as far as their conferences, pretty much as we're putting today's show together, and we haven't had a chance to analyze in detail, but enough of it is there that we're kind of getting a handle on it and watching some of the other analysts. And Quentin said there was also a very interesting exchange going on between Putin and a CNN reporter. So let's give it a listen.
First of all, could you characterize the dynamic between yourself and President Biden? Was it hostile or was it friendly? And secondly, throughout these conversations, did you commit to ceasing carrying out cyber attacks on the United States? Did you commit to stopping threatening Ukraine's security? And did you commit to stop cracking down on the opposition in Russia?
As for the first general appraisal, I think there was no hostility, quite the contrary. Our meeting took place principally speaking. Many of our positions We don't share the same positions in many areas, but I think that both of these sides showed a willingness to understand one another and to find ways to bring our positions closer together. The talks were quite constructive. As for cybersecurity, we reached an agreement, chiefly that we will start negotiations on that. I think that's extremely important. Now, as for who needs to take on any sort of commitment, I'd like to inform you of something. As for American sources, they've said that most of the cyber attacks in the world are carried out from the cyber realm of the United States.
So they didn't really resolve anything. But best spin he could on, and may certainly he's going to make himself look good. Biden should have said, look, there's no way something like that would happen in your nation under your dictatorship that you wouldn't know what's happening. And for you to sit there and say you don't know anything about it when all the intel says it came out of your country, no, he wasn't going to do that. Oh, by the way, Putin did point out that, well, he didn't not invite me to the White House. He didn't invite me to the White House. But you know what? You know what Biden did do? Putin said he did get a special gift. You remember we talked the other day, and maybe you've seen it, the Time magazine cover. The Time magazine cover that in advance of this meeting, you had Joe Biden looking so stern, wearing some aviator-type style Tom Cruise glasses, and the reflection in the glasses was Vladimir Putin. President Biden gave Putin custom aviator sunglasses during the summit. charade all the way around. Didn't expect anything, so I'm not disappointed one way or the other. I don't think it was as strong as it could have been and should have been. So coming up in the next segment, we're going to take a closer look at this thing from Jon Stewart the other day as he was on the Colbert Show and mocking and somewhat yet at the same time being emphatic about Wuhan virus coming out of Wuhan lab and China was responsible. Something if he'd said a year ago, he might have been had his head chopped off by Colbert. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER. Or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I've been alone for so long. And when I realized that the laboratory was having the same name, first name and last name, of the evil that had been plaguing us, I thought to myself, that up.
Well, that's a clip of the Colbert program, the late show with Stephen Colbert, returning to the Ed Sullivan Theater for the first time in over a year because of COVID, and he brought in his friend Jon Stewart to be his guest. They didn't talk about all their friendship for years on The Daily Show and that kind of stuff. They moved quickly into the issue of COVID. And you heard the remarks of John Stewart there. Said, I've been alone, and so long when I began to realize that this came out of the lab that has the same name as the, and he said, oh, that's BS, basically. Put bat and add the other word. That's pretty much what he was saying. And the audience laughed. You heard that. This audience for this program, I'm not talking about Larry Connors USA, I'm talking about the Stephen Colbert program, largely liberal, probably some independents mixed in, and they often attack conservatives in so many different ways, and they make fun and mock conservatives on a constant basis. And if you had been on the program a year ago and with Trump still in office and started talking about that the Wuhan virus obviously came out of Wuhan, or as Colbert said, look, it's got the same name as a lab. What a coinkydinky, Patrick. If you'd done that, they would have been after you so fast, the cancel culture would be looking up your address, doxing it to others to go attack your home and or your children, your job, put everything on the line for you. And here is John Stewart making a remark like that, just getting away with it. Let me give you a little bit more detail. He made it very clear. Talk about John Stewart. It was always a lab. We should have known it was a lab. There was never any question about it.
What do you mean by that? Do you mean like there's a chance that this was created in a lab? There's an investigation.
A chance?
Well, if there's evidence, I'd love to hear it.
There's a novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan novel respiratory coronavirus lab. The disease is the same name as the lab. That's just a little too weird, don't you think? And then they ask those scientists, they're like, how did this... So wait a minute, you work at the Wuhan respiratory coronavirus lab. How did this happen? And they're like, a pangolin kissed a turtle? And you're like, no, if you look at the name, let me see your business card. Show me your business card. Oh, I work at the coronavirus lab in Wuhan. Oh, because there's a coronavirus loose in Wuhan. How did that happen? Maybe a bat flew into the cloaca of a turkey and then it sneezed into my chili.
It is funny, but the irony is the audience itself loving it, not just for the humor, but for the fact that it's 180 degrees from the story that they were all buying and dealing with, and we all were dealing with during the Trump administration. Boots on the ground, Andrew in Chicago said, I don't know if you saw that clip, he said, but it amazes me, he said, Stewart would have been booed off the stage for discussing that theory a few months ago. I agree. And he goes on to say the sheeple in the audience are cheering and promoting the lab leak theory. What's changed? Is Dr. Fake bad now? Do people think the World Health Organization is corrupt yet? Has the media been taken to task for their lack of interest, which was staggering? Magically, all of these liberal sacred cows are still pristine. The only thing that's changed is a narrative. Isn't that interesting? You see that. Andrew says, I see. We all do. And the left has to see it too. But they don't want to talk about the past, you know, because we're in a new age, new world, and we're just not going to discuss how we were looking at it then. Or how Dr. Fake kept giving us false information constantly. And how they used it as an excuse to demonize Trump and Trump supporters. Stewart made another correlation, which is interesting. He said, you heard him say, look, it came from the Wuhan lab, which has the same name as the virology and the disease itself. And so then he draws another analogy. Listen to this one.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's been an outbreak of chocolatey goodness near Hershey, Pennsylvania. What do you think happened? Like, oh, I don't know. Maybe a steam shovel made it with a cocoa bean. Or it's the chocolate factory. Maybe that's it.
That could be.
See, all of that is just logical reasoning. It doesn't mean it has to be science, but it's logical thinking for most of us. But those remarks didn't go well with the Washington Post columnist Paul Waldman. He attacked Stewart and that kind of approach, especially when it came down to the lab leak being associated to the lab itself. Waldman goes on to say that it seems like a long time ago, but John Stewart used to be an immensely important figure sitting at a place where politics and pop culture meet. But these days he's retired, only emerges from time to time, and because he's always delighted more in skewering Republicans, it's a bit shocking to see him go on an extended rant on the coronavirus lab leak theory. He said, this proves an important lesson about celebrities. You shouldn't get your political opinions from them or your scientific opinions. Well, yeah, I'd agree with that, but too many on the left just suck it up if it came from one of their really big elite Hollywood type celebrity that they really love. And again, even Stephen Colbert tried to refute it a little bit.
It could be possible, you could be right, it could be possible that they have the lab in Wuhan to study the novel coronavirus diseases because in Wuhan there are a lot of novel coronavirus diseases because of the bat population there.
I understand.
It's like the thing,
it's
like,
a
wait
local
a second.
Specialty, and it's the only place to find bats. You won't find bats anywhere else.
Saying,
oh,
why?
Wait, Austin, Texas has thousands of them that fly out of a cave every night. Every night at dusk. Is there a coronavirus in Austin coronavirus? No, it doesn't seem to be an Austin coronavirus. The only coronavirus we have is in Wuhan.
Yes.
Where they have a lab called, what's the lab called again, Stephen?
The Wuhan Novel Coronavirus Lab.
I believe that's the case.
That kind of sums it up, does it not? But again, this Washington Post writer, Paul Waldman, columnist, I should point out, said he just didn't like Colbert doing that. He said, it feels good when a celebrity you admire agrees with you. It feels bad when the same person has values different from you, but they're not experts. The reason we listen to experts is that they know more than we do. Well, what the hell were they saying at that time? They were saying China had nothing to do with it. Trump made it all up. And Fauci insisting couldn't come out of the lab. Impossible. And several scientists signed off on similar letter. And now they're all turning around, some of them flipping entirely. And now, believe it or not, I just saw a report that Fauci is saying, well, all along I was saying it could have come from the lab. You did not. But they can easily rewrite history if you allow them to do it. We're not going to do it here. We're going to hold them down each and every time. And I applaud Stewart for stepping up and making those remarks. And when it came to scientists, oh, yeah, he had some remarks.
You could be right. You could be right.
But this is the problem with science. Science is incredible. But they don't know when to stop. And nobody in the room with those cats ever goes, yeah, I don't know if we should do that. Like, they're... I agree with you.
If science can do it, they will do it.
They will do it. They're like, oh, curiosity killed the cat. Oh, okay, well, let's kill 10,000 cats to find out why. And you're like, that's what science does. They push things.
They do push things. And Dr. Fake was certainly probably aware of what was happening. He can sit there and testify to members of Congress. We gave just a modest amount of money. And we think it's important that we understand the virus so we know how to protect and fight against it. And you can't totally say that's a stupid argument. No, I mean, you have to know what you're dealing with, right? But when you're doing it behind doors where you send the money, you don't know how it's being used, and you want to just take their word that everything's good here. And when three scientists in December of 2019 went to the hospital in China with, quote, flu-like symptoms. Just recently, just this month, Dr. Fake said, sent a letter and said, we need to know all the details about those scientists who went to the hospital, what exactly they had and everything. Now he's asking. And here we have the state-controlled media just absolutely ignoring what they'd said 1 year ago and how they ostracized and attacked and criticized anyone who suggested that the Chinese were behind it. And it couldn't have come from the lab. It had come from the wet market. Lie after lie after lie. When we come back, we've got another exchange we want you to hear between Putin and a CNN reporter. And I've got a letter from an email from a listener complaining about one of our commercials, and I'll explain why it's there. You may agree or not. Stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
First of all, could you characterize the dynamic between yourself and President Biden? Was it hostile or was it friendly? And secondly, throughout these conversations, did you commit to ceasing carrying out cyber attacks on the United States? Did you commit to stopping threatening Ukraine's security? And did you commit to stop cracking down on the opposition in Russia?
So those were some of the questions posed by CNN to Putin. Putin called on any reporter in the room he wanted to. A separate news conference, and Biden, because Biden did not want to have a joint news conference. And then Biden, when he had his news conference, called only on the reporters that were written down in front of him by staff members. He's looking down a list and selecting which reporter, because they either cleared their question in advance or they knew it was going to be a softball question. But then again, this exchange that took place after the reporter you just heard posing all these questions for Putin, it kind of went off the rails in a way. Listen to this.
So there were two other parts of the question. The first one is, did you commit in these meetings to stop threatening Ukraine? Remember, the reason this summit was called in the first place, or the timing of it, was when Russia was building up lots of forces across the border from Ukraine. And the second part of the question, the third part of the question was, did you commit to stopping your crackdown against the opposition groups inside Russia led by Alexei Navalny?
I didn't hear that part of the question. Maybe it wasn't interpreted, or maybe you just decided to ask a second question. Let's turn now to commitments under the Ukraine. We only have one commitment, promoting the implementation of the Minsk agreements. If the Russian side is prepared to do it, then we will take that path without any doubt. Incidentally, I'd like to point out one point. Back in November of last year, what happened? The Ukrainian delegation submitted their considerations about how they are planning to implement the Minsk Accords. Please take a look. It's not a secret document.
It's not a secret document. Look it up. Well, at least the CNN reporter made an effort, right? So I've got an email sent in I want to share with you. It's from, since it came to the Larry Connors USA email, not the Facebook posting. I'm not going to share the full name. If you put it on Larry Connors USA Facebook, then others would see it. But anyway, Sean writes, as a heavy metal fan and a patriot, I really hate hearing Ice-T on your show every day. His heavy metal band body count is horrible. The music is okay, but Ice-T just basically talks, and what he says is, all cops are racist. Uncle Tom Black cops are worse than white cops because they should know better. Conservatives suck, etc. Of course, Body Count wins a Grammy, and the Grammys wanted to make sure they would not be seen as racist because they gave an undeserving black band the prize. If I was asked the question, who would you least like to be stuck on an island with, Ice-T would be an easy answer. Let me correct that. He said it would be an easy top five. And then he concludes, please stop running his commercials. Well, Sean, first of all, that's not one of my commercials that comes that the station puts up, and it's I'm not sure if it's a full commercial or a PSA. Ice-T is talking about how dogs can be used to help vets who come back and are dealing with PTSD, and of course they can be used in other ways as well. So there's a value to that. I hear what you're saying about Ice-T, but there are conflicts that we have to deal with from time to time anyway. Ice-T, for those of you who don't know, is an American rapper. but many of you may not know him that way. And by the way, as a rapper, he had his second hip-hop album, they had to put explicit content sticker on it immediately. And he often deals in exactly like he's saying in the music, you know, with killing cops and cops are bad. And yet, keep in mind, he was also one of the principals appearing in Law and Order, this TV series. And in fact, he did a very good job in it. It was always interesting. He was kind of aloof, and yet you kind of got a different perspective of a black detective who was, you know, kind of different than some of the others. So it's a very interesting character. Now, even with the request, Sean, it's not in my hands to take care of it, but I'd ask you to consider this. There are some artists that we play as bump music that some folks might have agreements against for any number of reasons. Maybe they don't consider them to be a Christian, or maybe they consider that they are doing nothing but dealing in drugs all the time when they're not doing music, whatever your perspective is. There are some artists that I have disagreements with, be it on my air or this program, or going to a movie, or watching on Netflix. And Netflix is another perfect example. The way Netflix is running things and giving all this money and everything to the Obamas, making them rich beyond rich, I'm not in favor. But, of course, I have a Netflix account, and I pay for it. So, yeah, they, in a way, get a slice of my money. Do I want to give it to them? No. But at some point, you just can't shut down anything and everything that you disagree with. If you don't like it at all, don't subscribe. Don't take part of it. I do appreciate your comment, though, Sean. I do. And I think you set a conversation in play. So I appreciate that as well. And for the rest of you, you can always write comments to LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com, or you can go direct to the Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook. And I do appreciate you reminding your friends and family, even your enemies, we're on the air. We're filling a void. No one can replace Rush Limbaugh, but this program is helping fill a void where the other station has turned its back on that audience. And you do remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.